It's been a great joy for me to be with you for all these different teachings throughout this course, and these things are so dear to my heart. Being a spiritual father or mother, and seeing the next generation experience God and experience the family of God and experience house church ministry and developing house churches and developing a vision that God has placed in your heart. Just an amazing thing. And so I've just been blessed to be with you, to be part of this. And I am convinced we live in the most exciting generation ever. I studied revivals for many years. And, you know, like I mentioned before, my second favorite all-time book is Revival Lectures by Charles Finney. Big, thick book on how to see revival come. And I've seen God move, even as I've traveled nation to nation, seeing God move in nations of the world. Just been an amazing blessing to see what He's doing today. But you know, the best is yet to come. He's going to pour out His Spirit in all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will dream dreams. Old men will see visions. He's going to do that in the days we live in. And He's going to use you as a part of that. And you've got a key role and what God will do in His end time harvest. And I look forward to house churches all springing up all over the world, micro churches, organic churches, simple churches, call them whatever you want, where people don't have to be bound to using a building. They can simply use their home, or they can use the marketplace. They can use just some kind of an extra room in a business or whatever. But these churches will spring up right alongside church buildings where people, they're using buildings for the glory of God, and then even mega churches, and all working together, walking together, God bringing through unity blessing in cities of the world. You know, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You know, we read that in the book of Habakkuk. It will happen. And we're going to see that happen. But as we obey Him, become spiritual fathers and mothers, and see these new churches released. I want to read you a scripture in closing today from Mark chapter 10. In 29 and 30, He says, "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied. See, because I'm convinced the best is yet to come. Listen to this. "I tell you the truth." And this has to do with making a sacrifice. There is a sacrifice to obey the Lord in these days and do what He's called us to do. He says, "I tell you the truth, no one has left home or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for me in the gospel," He says, but will fail to receive 100 times. In other words, as we obey Him, we make some sacrifices. He says, we'll receive 100 times as much in this present age. I can say I knew I had to give up a lot of friends. I mean, I'm, again, now in my mid-60s, and I look back on my life, gave up a lot of things I could have done. I mean, I could have been involved in a business with my father. I was the only son of the family. I had to give that up because I was called to do what I was doing, to see kingdom expansion. But I am so grateful to God. So grateful to God, because today God has given back. And the scripture says, gives it back this way, 100 times in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them, persecutions. There's been some hard times. There might still be hard times to come. He says, in the age to come, eternal life. And many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. We live in very, very exciting times. I just want you to know there's a call of God on your life. I'm going to encourage you to be open, to be vulnerable, to, as you train the next generation, and regardless of how young you are, how old you are, there's still a call of God in your life. You might be much older than I am. I want you to know there's still best days ahead for you to obey God. In fact, I have found that the 60s is the most productive years of your life. I've just read recently the 70s is the second most productive. The 50s is the third most productive. And so the best is yet to come for us. But I just want you to know that we do all make mistakes. We've made lots of mistakes. In this book that we use for training our leaders called Helping You Build Cell Churches, which really has to do with building house fellowships, we have listed 36 major mistakes that we made. Now, I don't have time to give them all, but I want to mention a few in closing so that you don't have to make the same mistakes. One of the mistakes we made is whenever we didn't give clear leadership. There's times when I began to doubt myself, am I really called to give leadership? I backed off, and rather than taking the responsibility that God gave me in insecurity, I thought, well, I think other people know better than I do. And every time I did that, I realized I made a mistake. Another mistake is when I stopped training. That's why I love this school, CLI. That's why I love the Dove School, Dove Leadership Ministry School. We're training leaders for another generation. And whenever we stopped training, I found we no longer saw people with the fire of God, reaching people for Christ, helping people grow. That simply stopped happening. At least it subsided. excited because we need constant training. I found another problem was compromising the God-given vision. See, you're doing what you're doing because God called you. You're not doing it because somebody talked you into it. And I said it before, I'll say it again. If someone talks you into it, somebody else can talk you out of it. You're doing it because God's called you. Galatians chapter 1:1-10, Paul says, I'm doing what I'm doing. He says, I'm not doing it for a man. I'm doing it because I'm called by Jesus Christ. And that's important that we understand that. And that's why we can't compromise on the vision that God's given us. And there's times that I've exalted certain visions more than Jesus. It's all about Jesus. These are mistakes that we made, I made, and we made over the years. And you don't have to make the same mistakes. There's times I got into controlling people more than releasing people. I remember as a pastor, we had somebody in a house fellowship. And you know, some people fit in one house fellowship and not another one. People are like pieces to a puzzle. Some fit and some simply do not. And a couple came to me with a good heart and they said, we feel like we should be in another house fellowship. I was a young leader in those days, learning how to be an apostolic leader. And I remember I talked to one of our other leaders and our leader said, no, they need to stay where they're at. And I thought, okay, they need to stay. And I got back to, you need to stay. They left our church. They left that house fellowship. They went to another church. Years later, I saw them. God convicted me that rather than helping them, I was controlling them. They'd have been better off planted at a place they could bloom. And I said, will you please forgive me? And I've done a lot of asking forgiveness over the last 50 years. And they were so gracious and they forgave me. Another area of control was somebody's involved in a house fellowship over here, but they lived in another town or city. And I said, no, if you live in this town, you should go to this house fellowship. That was a huge mistake because the church is not built by geography. It's built by relationship. You know what happened? When people, I think, why waste all your gas driving from this town to this town? The truth is, they really should have been in this other town. That's where they had relationship. And then when they start a house fellowship, they can go back to their own town and they can do it back in their own town because God called them, not because they felt coerced or because they felt like someone was forcing them to do that. And a couple other mistakes that we made was there was a time I thought everyone could be a primary leader. Everyone could start a house fellowship. Everyone could start a house church. And I realized that people are wired differently. God makes us all different. Some are introverts. Some are extroverts. You know, some have certain giftings and others have other giftings. And I realized that some people, we just need to find out what's in their hearts, what's God called them to do, and just help them fulfill that. They might always be supportive leaders, and that can be a great blessing. I have friends who are a couple that I thought, boy, they should be leaders. And they said, no, we're called to be supportive leaders. And for years they were. And one day they said, we're called to start our own group. And they started their own group, but they did it because God called them, not because we were somehow coercing them into doing that. And another thing I learned that was a mistake, there's times I would go to a conference, I'd read a book, I'd go to a seminar, visit a church, and I see somebody doing something, I try to mimic that and copy that. But I realized that the reason I was doing it is I saw the results. But the reality was I didn't see the values and the real things that were happening behind the scenes. So you don't copy messages from others unless you understand their values. You understand why do they do what they're doing. And you know, you've heard me say it many times, but I found that when we didn't have spiritual fathers in our lives, and I thought we're going to be fine because God was blessing us, we were growing, and God seemed to be blessing, and He was. But I didn't have a spiritual father, I had no one to turn to. When things got rough, there was no one to turn to. And I want you to know that God wants you not only to be a spiritual mother or father, but to be connected to those who give you accountability, and spiritual fathers and mothers who can also help you in the same way. And probably the last thing that I want to share with you is I found there were times that I made assumptions. And I just assumed that everybody understood, and I didn't communicate enough. Don't be afraid of over-communicating. We communicate, re-communicate, whether it's with our wives and families, whether it's in the house church we're planting, whether it's with the ministry we're involved with. But God's called us by His grace to be communicators and learn how to communicate and recognize different people appreciate different kinds of communication. I'm a writer, so I write books. That's one way I communicate. I'm a speaker, and I do it that way too. But some people, you know, they're social media communicators. They have different kinds of communication, different ways that God speaks to them and people speak to them in ways that they understand as they're learning how to communicate properly. So may God bless you with abundance. And I want to pray blessing over you and all that God has for you in the future. Because remember, the best is yet to come. In your life and my life and what God's doing around the world, we live in troubled times in many nations. And with every nation I go to, there's a sense that we're being, it's a troubling time today. People say, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. There's a kingdom that cannot be shaken that the Bible talks about in Hebrews 12. It's the kingdom of God that you and I are called to. So I want to pray a blessing over you that you would fulfill the purpose of God for your life. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the men and women of God who've listened, Lord God, to this training, this teaching. I pray that that the impartation will go deep into their spirits. And Lord, I pray you use them powerfully and mightily in ways that would just blow their minds because you live strong in them. May there be a deep intimacy with the Father, intimacy with you. And Lord, may they experience your power, your grace, your blessing, your wholeness, your healing, and your reproduction and multiplication in their lives and through their lives as you work through them. And when they stand before the Lord, may each of us stand with our spiritual sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters as far as the eye can see. And Lord God, we are believing together for a multiplied thousands and millions of new wineskins, new churches in this generation that it will take care of the harvest that's coming as you pour out your Spirit in these days. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.